you don't mind, I'm going to put this in the middle.
Hey, this is April 7th, 2014, the Main Gate District Design Review Committee. It is 2:10 p.m. and we'll begin. There will be a roll call. Tom Warren, absent. Dean Cervelli?
Here.
Bob Smith?
Present.
Jim Chaffee?
Present.
Matt Williams?
Here.
Jane McCollum?
Here.
Rick Gonzalez?
Here.
We have quorum. Rick, you're the design professional chair. You can take over the meeting from here.
Okay, the first item is approval of meeting minutes. I think you had something, Matt.
Well, are these actual meeting minutes, or are they just sort of a... I just noting that, like, the context of some of the statements are just sort of quirky, but I wouldn't necessarily think that it needs to be changed. You just, like, you know, yeah, just the context is a little off for sure on a lot of the statements, but I think that we all understand where we're at, so I don't think it needs to be changes. It's more of just an observation.
All right. Anyone else? Did you see the minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Would you approve it, sir?
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm abstaining. I wasn't here.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
Item three, the hub at Tucson 1. The phase alterations and replacement plan presentation.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Thank you for making yourselves available today. We all had a lot of converging schedules. We were trying to get together, so thank you for being here. Lisa, could you hit the lights? I think that's right behind you now. Okay, thank you. At our meeting on March 12th, concerning the design issues on the west side of the building, we as a design team and as a development team really stepped back and tried to figure out what we could do, what was the best approach to try to get the project to look the way it did as we had originally designed it and it was approved by the DRC. The rendering, elevation rendering you see here is a straight-on elevation of that view, and then a couple others. So this is a rendering looking towards the northeast, and then additional rendering from Speedway and Euclid. So the intent was really, how do we get back to this? And part of the challenge that we have with this is that a lot of the areas within the center of the building and other areas, we really can't get windows in. There's some areas where we could force them in. We could certainly have forced it more than we did, but it would have been a real hodgepodge of an expression. And I think what everyone really liked about this, that despite the step backs and all these different things we had going on here, there was a certain order to it all the same that kind of carried through. And I think that's where there was a lot of disappointment that look and that expression was lost. Mm-hmm. You know, when we went through this and it kind of came to the version that ended up being built.
May I ask a quick question? Should we save our questions for the end, or
if you could, because there's a kind of a whole concept, okay. And I think a lot of the questions will be answered, and it will take me more than 10 minutes to go through it. So the idea was really, how do we get back to something that looks, it feels like this? So I want to point out just in the beginning some of the challenges that we had. I mentioned that we would be able to get more windows in some locations, but there are certain areas in the center where there's bathrooms and kitchens where we would not be able to get a full height window in regardless, because there's plumbing walls and things like that. There's other areas where we could get in a tall window, but it would be behind couches where there's blinds. It was just a bad condition. Everything would look really bad. The blinds would be caught up on the couches and things. So those are areas where we could get them, but they didn't make sense. But there are definitely areas where we could not get them in. So we would have ended up having this hodgepodge look with windows. So that was an initial issue that we had as we started to look at how we go about solving this. The second, there's three issues I'm going to mention, and this is relative to additional windows. The second one was, as we talk about cutting in windows, real serious concerns with our contractor and warranties, being able to put these in and warranty this product with all these retrofits where we're cutting in and creating all these retrofit conditions with windows. So that was a real concern, that it's great that we have a contractor on board to be open with us about that, but that was a concern And then thirdly, the ordering of windows and installing them would have a huge impact on us being able to be open for the 2014 school year. So those were the three things that we were worrying about and concerned about trying to figure out. So we stepped back and we were trying to think, how do we get back to where we were, knowing the issues that we have trying to bring windows into the building? And that was kind of the challenge where we were at. This is where the building is right now. And one other thing I did want to mention is, so we look at this apples to apples. We've done highly rendered versions of the original, of the new, and then some proposals we have. But we did this, and we have some photographs at the end that I think brings it into context. But this allowed us to really be looking at it, so we can flip back and forth. We don't have one that's in a totally different context from something else. So it's remarkable how much this looks like what's there right now. But so this is the building as it's constructed now with the reduction of the windows. What we did then is we added the landscaping and the railings as they would be. These are not in place yet, but we inserted those into the drawing. So we say, okay, what would this look like if it was just finished as it was? So that's the purpose behind this. How does it look against our original, where we are with it as it's built right now, and then that image. I think that's what that Jan had mentioned, you know, what does this look like from a distance? And I think that's where there was concerns that it's changed quite a bit. So that's how that would look from that view. So the concept that we stepped back and we came up with is we thought that there might be a way that we could do a panel system on the building that would have an effect that draws some of the architectural expression on what we had already built. And we used this, we thought that this might be a motif that we could use and express in a panel system or in a frame system up on the building. And this takes place along the back here. It takes place as you go down Tyndall at first in the retail, and then the opposite corner. I'm sorry, I don't have that, but that the glassy corner has this exact same sort of a random kind of vertical element in the building. We thought, hey, if we look at something that had a frame, a metal frame of some sort, where we could bring that into the building, that would make a lot of sense on this side of a building. We're carrying kind of the expression that's part of the building already instead of trying to drop something new in. So we looked at something like that, and we looked, so I'm going to go now, so this was, you know, the versions of the building as it exists presently. And I guess here, this helps. So those windows, this expression here wraps around the retail on these two floors, and then it runs up this corner of the building and then around the retail there. So that's where we thought, you know, this is something that really, there's a lot of it on the building, and they might be able to do a little bit more. So we looked at this idea with a panel system that we could apply. So what you see with what's a little bit rendered, a little bit grayer, are the existing windows. And then we looked at these panels, and you see that these are offset this way and that way, just like these panels are. There's kind of a random pattern to this. And we were able to start to get this regularity again through the building. You know, it rises up and it creates that same sort of feel. And again, the other nice thing about it is that it's, you know, we have some windows, we have some of this. So again, it's random in these, you know, between the windows and that, but we have this regularity. And we felt that was starting to really, you know, it made sense to us. The other thing that we did is there's some of these where we had those little windows here where we actually put the frame around that also. So we thought that this was starting to make sense, and it allowed us to go up to areas where we wouldn't be able to have windows otherwise. So this is option A. This is a system. When you see the additional panels, there's about 36. And then we kept, you know, we looked at different things with that. So I'm going to just go through a couple of the views. So that's, say, you know, looking north, northeast. And you get to, I think, you know, this helps see where I'm really starting to bring back the original expression much more. And then from, you know, distance, again, you start to see that kind of regularity happening as the building steps back. So we looked at another version where we added essentially another row in here and in here. And again, you know, a lot of these are areas we could not get windows in even if we wanted to because of the bathrooms and kitchens. So we felt like it seemed like we were really onto something. You pulled all that stuff in and you really do begin to get that feel like what we had originally, you know, these strong elements that went up the building. And again, from the distance. So it seemed like it really started to make sense to us from an expression standpoint and from a design standpoint. The panels that we're proposing, so that's the design concept, and I think, so that's, what does it do to the building? How does it look in the building? So that's kind of what we're seeing here. Then We have a little more detail relative to this. So the idea with these panels are that these are aluminum tube systems. So these are 2x2 tubes, and they have they're rendered differently, so they're up and down just like those other areas. Those are held onto the building at 6 points, and they're used with a neoprene-backed washer, so it's like essentially a waterproof washer. And those are hidden in the corner, so we wouldn't see the attachment points. So that holds it up a little bit. And then behind that location, where there's presently stucco, that would be painted. That stucco would be painted. And I have that color on the table. So it's a deep blue. The idea with the color that we painted was that it rendered a very, very similar color to what the windows that we have cast. Our windows are low E. It's necessary to satisfy the energy code. So this was an opportunity to kind of tie that in very carefully and make that look the same. This is an example where this particular panel right here would actually go around those square windows. We would paint that there. That wasn't shown. So you still have the same hue of blue, and it varies a little bit, which is okay, but it's very similar. It casts and has the same feel to it. One of the side benefits of this is that I think we would be seeing during the sodas along the west side of the building that there'd be a lot more reflection had it been completed as it was originally approved, and this is just a side effect. But there'll be a bit less glare, or a good deal less glare, where we have something like this as we're proposing it. But again, so those areas, that's painted stucco in a similar color, and this gives you an idea of how these things, you know, would work if you step along the building. This thing does hold off the building by an inch, so that creates a little bit of a shadow that's cast around these, and I think that that's a helpful element. It gives it a little bit of depth. And then we went and made a mock-up of one of these. So that's as we're back, so that's as the building is sitting down, the railings and things are in the building yet. And then we did build a mock-up of that so we could photograph and see how this would look and how it would work. So this is one of those panel systems. It's the full height of the floor. It's 9 feet high. It's the same width as the windows exactly. It's 42 inches, so it's exact same width. And then at the location where there's some of those windows, that would lap over that. So you can see how close we are able to get with the casting. It has a somewhat different character, which we understood, but it is something that is very similar, you know, in the color. So that was the thought that we had, that this made a lot of sense from the standpoint that we're able to really get the building to look like we originally had. And you know, so that was the thought process that we went through and that we're proposing as a call it an exterior repair to the building as it's presently constructed. So I would love to answer any questions about the idea.
So Jeff, just to articulate it, the difference between what we're showing is option one and option two.
Right, there's two versions. So this option two, essentially the difference is it has the second row along either side as it runs up the building. So that's really the main difference between this option, which is this one, and then the first option. So like I said, that's along in here and here. So, and again, I think that option is very similar as far as the elements, you know, that you have on that face of the building compared to where, you know, we were, you know, with it originally, which is that.
I have a question, Jim.
Sure.
What is our capacity as a design review committee here today? Are we approving something, or are we simply advising?
You're approving.
So how is it any different than the last time we approved something, and we didn't end up with what was approved?
In the sense that whatever you approve, one of the other items here is a design review process that we're suggesting is that we found the gap where the plans are submitted, the construction drawings are different, and we figured out how to make sure that doesn't happen again. Because now, from now on, there's two main packages. There's a site planning package, and then there's a construction drawing package that everyone goes through, whoever submits plans. Now we're requiring anything that goes through the main gate DRC that the site planning package, which we call a development package, is signed off by the design professional who has a design package that is approved with a confirmation letter that's sent out to all of you saying this is the package that was approved. And here are the exhibits that are attached to that package. And when he signed the design pack or the development package doesn't go anywhere until he signs off that what is being presented there is consistent with the design review package. And the same thing for the construction drawings. Whatever is being submitted there, he has to sign off on that it is consistent with the design package. So that step wasn't in the process the first time. It will be in the process from now on.
Wasn't there also a problem, though, that things were changed in the field?
No. This was a straight, they submitted drawings that were different in their construction drawings than what were submitted, or those were approved by the DRC. So the reviewers downstairs, they were seeing that, and they were seeing mixed into that approved sheets from the development package, so they're feeling assured that, oh, this is okay. And I'm not blaming anybody, it just was, you know, we found our gap and we filled it, and this won't happen again.
Are we ready for questions?
Yes.
Okay. Just a couple of initial thoughts, and not necessarily speaking for others, but I think that part of the difficulty that I had with the way that it ended up being constructed versus the way that we reviewed and approved it was that there is quite an expanse of stucco on the walls in a very visible place, actually visible enough to where, since you know this is a historic area right directly to the west, nothing else tall is going to be built there, so this is going to be visible for a long, long time from a long distance. And so it's an important elevation, and I think that part of the difficulty that we had with this was that rather than having the articulation and the interest that the windows provide and the sense of it being a residential area that provides, that we had instead blank walls that were stucco. And I think that was pretty offensive to us. And so when we look at just working for a minute with the proposal you put forward, I think that an effort to reduce the amount of blank stucco walls is a good fundamental theory and approach. I think that the first option you showed went a little ways there. The second option you showed went farther in that direction.
Right.
And I think it does help, my own personal opinion. I still think that there's a considerable amount of stucco there, but it's less and it's not quite as offensive as it was. So what I would say next is that the way that it's done then becomes the next area to discuss is important. And so I think that the metal frame that gives a little three-dimensional element that could suggest windows is a thought. I think that painting the wall behind it the color of something darker is a little less exciting, because I know because we have some dark stucco painted on campus how fast it fades and what a maintenance issue it can be, and I think that it doesn't seem necessarily to me authentic or logical that you would paint a different color of wall behind a metal frame. And I think that anyone that's close enough to see what it is going to wonder what was that all about, without knowing about our conversation here. And a lot of people will see it without knowing about our conversation. So I would wonder, is there another approach to providing what you've done here to cut down on the amount of stucco wall, and by creating something that's a little more authentic or usable or more longer lasting? For example, could there be a metal mesh or screen that you put over those areas that also could serve as a trellis for some planters or something? Or is there, just the metal frame and a painted wall behind it, to me, doesn't quite get us there.
Sure.
Just my initial thought.
That's one of the thoughts that we had, was to do a mesh element behind it. And that's certainly another approach that would work.
Well, one other quick thought is, I appreciate that you're here doing this with us. I'm not completely convinced by the rationale as to why you went away from the windows before. Having windows and blinds behind sofas, to me, isn't a reason enough to make the changes you made, but I'm trying to go forward from where we are today and discuss your proposals.
the idea with the mesh is certainly another way of looking at this, you know, as a solution within that frame, yes.
Jim? I was, I agree with Bob definitely on the point of, you know, it's a pretty far departure to presume that somehow the exterior of the building wouldn't be, you know, dramatically impacted by, you know, the what appears to be, you know, major modifications to the interior, you know, layout. But and I'm not convinced of this approach yet. And I'm also just looking at this rendering and I'm trying to see, like, this doesn't look like it represents what the existing doors that are on there accurately.
It represents everything that is on that building. If I go to the reason I say that,
because I can see when I look at that building, I can see a dramatic difference. There's that row of doors that's like five across. Yeah. There, it's a, you know, a few stories down.
Right, but it's
top.
It's hidden because of these. Some of those doors are hidden right there.
I can see how it's articulated as the existing rendering on that same floor. It's pretty obvious to me. I can see it. It's not really a question to me. If you look at the right corner of the building there, four stories down, five stories down, that's like a really wide doorway with just little windows above and below it. And then what you have represented, you can see it in the left picture even better. What you have represented does not.
Those
I don't
exist,
think
yeah,
it,
those are the windows, and we should put
right,
a panel
and they go
over
on
top
that,
of it.
That balcony above it.
Right.
And I can see stucco articulation that's moving around there. That's not what it looks like.
Right, but I guess the point is that as part of the solution, this is a window. That's a window. Those are the little windows. So we'll go back to that. That's a little window, and then we put that panel over it to try to create this, create this uniformity that rises up the building. So that was part of the idea, that instead of just leaving those. We really wanted to bring more order to it because that's how it was originally. So this was our idea of doing so.
Where's the elevation of option two? Okay, so there I can see right there that it's missing from that elevation. That doorway. That doorway there on the right matches that one that's two floors up like that. It looks like that built that doorway. If I had a pointer, I'd show you.
There you go. I have a pointer.
Go back to the other one. There's the activation.
Is it like a red thing on the... Feel like a little red. See a little red.
Oh, I see it. Okay. See this doorway right here? There's another one just like it right here. See? Right there. So your rendering isn't accurate as to how what you're proposing to make this building look like. It's not showing it to us accurately. Right here. That's a big difference. That kind of look, and this is one of the issues I have with the building right now, is how dramatically different these doorways are to any of the, you know, the framing and that goes around these windows. These windows look so different from this, whereas the original, you know, the original drawings that you presented, that we approved, had everything looking uniform, but just from this to the window above it, it's a massive difference. I mean, it's like wider framing. The you know, partitioning is a lot narrower and tighter. They don't follow. And the original rendition had these windows all had, you know, stucco articulation in between them as well. So I'm just saying, right now, you're presenting something to us that still isn't even accurately portraying what the building would look like.
I think there's a great important point here. Our mistake wasn't that we went through and continued to solve or try to make the building work in a way that it needed to. Our mistake was that we needed to gauge you again. Because the situation that we're dealing with, we would have been dealing with then and solving it together and wrestling in the mud about it. The problem is that to make it work, we did have to do a lot of these things. I mean, the fact that we have these windows and this sort of window, that's part of what makes that plan work in that building. And I think we did not give you the opportunity to say, how do we deal with this together? And the fact that these are different from how they were originally was part of that.
That doesn't justify
process.
It for me.
It does justify. I'm just saying it's part of the process that we had to go through to make this work. And could we put more windows in than we did? Yes, it would have been, I think, worse than it is now without the windows, because it would have just been all over the place. And we were trying to keep as much order to it as we could. Again, the mistake was we did not engage you guys in the process. We're trying to provide a solution with us, with our, you know, with our knowledge of the building that provides and gets this back to a place where it feels very much like it did originally with the solution that we all, you know, proved, worked through, and they came to together. So that's the intent with this. We feel like this is the best approach to be able to create that sort of unity of the building, of the end of the building that it originally had.
I certainly have more to say, but I wanted to hear what Jan has to say.
Yeah, I don't find your case convincing. I think you made a really bad choice by making decisions about windows and not consulting with us. I'm not convinced at all that with yours, you're a talented designer. I can see that because you responded to us in a lot of challenging ways, okay? And I'm just not convinced that you couldn't go back in consultation with us and find a way to get at least 60 to 75% of that glazing on that side. That's the most important side of this building, one of the most important projects in the city. I'm not convinced. And I find this to be not much better than a poor county jailhouse facade. And I'm not convinced that you still can't go back and add some windows in there. And I don't care if the units aren't going to be done in time. I just think this is a poor attempt at a very important project, particularly in a case where you've lost a lot of credibility with this group right here in this city. I'm going to leave it at that.
I didn't say that we could not add more windows back. I believe I made that clear at the beginning. I understand.
You gave us 14 reasons why you chose not to. That's what I heard. It's going to take you too long. You couldn't get the warranties from the product manufacturers, and I lost track after that. And, you know, at night, what is this going to look like? One of the real beauties of that building in the evening is that these lights would be on, that there would be some sense of beauty to the thing. This hasn't helped that one iota.
So what could you do to add some windows back? Where it's possible?
Well, there's areas where it's possible. Yes, I have mentioned to begin with. They're generally the difficult spots are up through it here. The areas where, you know, where we have those lower windows, there's, you know, furnishings and things below that make that not work quite so well, but that's a possibility.
There was another part of the motion that I had when I made at the last meeting where I wanted a very clear definition. I mean, I realize you guys are cutting to the chase with what you want to propose, but I also wanted to see exactly what are the side-by-side differences. What was proposed, and list out the things that were changed. And you've kind of glanced over it, like we changed windows, obviously we put some pillars in, and you haven't even addressed the south and the north elevations where you also made dramatic changes as you come to the west end and those fenestrations and how those windows are articulated. Those are major differences as well. And there's been no mention of that to any degree in this meeting. You can see the pillars up there. Is there something we can do about those? And the more I look at them, they stand out. They're, the one on the opposite side has a balcony element over it that I'm not sure why that was there. That's not on the original rendering either. And I just want to make sure that whatever happens here, we're not just relying on to some degree putting up greenscape that's going to block the building. We're not like planting a tree to hide something here. We want to see a design that articulates, you know, a vision on its own without the idea that there has, like, a living green thing is going to block it also. I realized that that was part of, you know, the intended accent, but when I was looking at that building, it was definitely the permeability with the windows on this end and even on the sides that made a huge difference. And I just want to make sure that we're not looking at this like, oh, we've put a big tree in front so you don't see it.
Well, we didn't change that. That's the kind of stuff that we have from the
beginning. I know, but it seems like there's some reliance on that, especially as we look at angles and how that's going to block, you know, the way the doorways look now versus what they were rendered as and things like that. I just think it seems there's some reliance on this green being
living.
Not just an accent, yeah, living, first of all, and not just being an accent, it's also being a screen to it.
Well, we render this to show how it will be, and where we show a bigger plant, that's where we propose that, because that's where we had space in the balcony. That was part of the concept. I mean, I felt like everyone, that was a plant that everyone liked, that there would be this greenery kind of cascading of the building. So we did this so that's apples to apples, each one of these versions. We show the screens, and we show the greenery that's planned around the different sides. Where you see a bigger tree, we didn't put that in because we're trying to blot something out. We put that in because in our landscape plan, there was that tree.
Okay.
I think what we're also trying to say, though, is the greenery, if it's removed, reveals a pretty ugly building, which I am your neighbor, and not happy with how it looks since we made such an effort to make the bottom look so good as compared to what had been proposed previously. But the fact of the matter, what if all that green went away? Because it's possible in the west sun of the summer that green will not be very green. We don't know. We all know we have trouble with landscape and given where you are. We just don't know. And so the building has to be beautiful without any greenery, I believe. And, you know, that was actually brought to my attention at a recent meeting, and I think that it's a wise piece of advice to remove it all before we look at whether or not we like the building. That the greenery itself may or may not end up being as lush and beautiful as we hope. And so how does the building stand on its own for the people who are your neighbors?
Well, I mean, the above that show up there is realistic with what we think these things are. We spent a lot of money to put that there. We spent a lot of money on the irrigation and to make this thing work. You know, so there's a very sophisticated system there to ensure that lives. It's not up there with someone with a water can and a hose. That stuff's going to be watered on a timer as necessary to make it, you know, to make it grow and thrive. So a lot of money has been spent for that greenery to be on that side of the building. This was not a token effort to put that.
So I think I don't think that we're objecting to anything related to the greenery. I think there's too much focus on the greenery. I think it was just a comment made. If it wasn't there, it would be a bigger problem. But I think the problem is what's behind the greenery. I mean, that's the one thing that's really still there that you had before. So myself, I'm happy it's still there. I'm glad that you're taking care of it to help give it the best chance to live. But I think that what's behind it on the walls is the key issue.
Well, let me ask this. The concept with these panels, and there's different ways of approaching it, if that sort of expression, which does allow us to get, you know, elements where it's really, truly in front of a plumbing wall at the building, or in front of a kitchen where we can't bring those all the way down. The windows are an issue, but we're being asked to look at that and to consider putting some additional windows into the facade. So if we're able to achieve a look where we're able to add some windows and then we have these screens as sort of still an element that's part of that expression, would that make sense as a solution?
To me, just to me, depending on the amount of windows you can put back in and how you can make that work, it's possible.
I think I'm asking the DRC as a whole if that seems like
Well, that's just my view as one member.
The windows could be opaque so that the plumbing wouldn't show through. There, you know, there are some possible ways to treat that. I know that those finishes are probably already in place. But, you know, by holding back elements and treating the windows, you can still have the effect of a window there.
I think personally that putting back as many windows as you can would be a very key step to making this work much more like the initial design.
Well, I think Jan had a good point about the light at night, that the difference between day and night will be so dramatically different if we just have screens and paint, or frames and paint, right?
I honestly couldn't speculate as to whether I would say that would work or not. I mean, especially, I definitely want to see more windows. I think that's a...
Well, I guess...
That was the critical missing part to begin with, and to propose aluminum frames just mounted on the exterior as a remedy. I'm sure that works, you know, for your design advantage, but that doesn't meet the muster, I think, of what needs to happen. More windows, and then I don't really know how that would articulate with, you know, with a aluminum frame, you know, mounted on the exterior right next to it. I don't really know how that would
work. Let's talk about, like, get a little bit here. So those are windows. Those are windows there. That's a window along the outside edge. So these would be panels inside. Now, I think that there's no question that there's a lot of light that would emit from that element of the building, you know, in the evening. So, again, if you talk about a combination, I think that there's a lot of light. Again, you're getting that regular pattern that existed originally. If we then look at different elements of the building, we're talking about the way it's expressed and about the light, you know, in the evening and things like that. If we are able to, you know, these are those areas that I was concerned about with furnishings, but if we were to make those, you know, a little bit like a band like that into a window, you know, in areas like that, again, where it may have a lot of effect, you get a lot of that effect back. And I think that if we think of this as a solution that has both, I think we would want to see how we have one or the other so that there's sort of a random balance as it comes on the building. Either we have order, like, you know, with these elements, because there's this combination. I think if there was kind of a happy medium, maybe as a combination, that might be the thing that makes sense. And if we put in more windows, it helps with the issue with, you know, there being the light that you feel the, you know, the evening hours and things like that.
It would be my instinct from a design point of view to let the windows look like windows, and
right.
not to try to cover them up and make them look like the metal frame things, and yeah. have as much of the windows as you can, and then have a different approach to trying to address the areas that you feel you can't put windows into. It could be some kind of trellis system or something, I don't know.
Right.
But I think that trying to treat the windows so it looks like, I don't think that uniformity is all that critical. You look on the other elevations, the windows are purposely not aligned one
yeah.
above the other. And so I think you should put as many windows as you can back in and let them be windows, and then start working with the rest of the expanse of stucco wall that's left with another system that's kind of honest about what it is.
Where is it that you believe that you can put windows back in?
Well, I think, up the center is where it's most difficult. Up through most of these, that's where we have bathrooms and kitchens of different units. So it would be more mm-hmm. towards the outside.
So we could get those two stacks of the two vertical stacks of windows that go up on either side of that, and then we call for something else in the middle. You could have windows on both those sides going up vertically.
Around the exterior, there are more opportunities to be able to do it than up the center. So it's, it's interesting because always you step back as you look at it. It's a case by case basis on the floor. Because there'll be an area where there's, you know, things, it's very irregular, so that's a little bit of the challenge of it.
What portion of the bathroom or the kitchen is preventing the window?
There's, you know, plumbing walls against, you know, areas like in here. And then in an area like this, I believe, in this one there's kitchens. Again, it varies a lot, but those are the spots that are the difficult thing, Jan, and the, you know, at the kitchens, you could, you know, we have cabinets against that wall, so you actually do not have cabinets and put a high window, but I think, I don't think you get the punch out of it if it's just adding a little window. My guess is it's, if you're going to do it, you may as well do it so we can get these larger ones, you know.
Can you go back to the your option to west elevation drawing?
Sure.
How about the one that actually shows the, let's go back to the actual site
Is it, is that?
Actually, you know, I've got that picture here. Maybe I can use that. I just want to see, because I'm still, I'm a little upset still about the, just that the renderings don't actually represent, you know, accurately what, you know, what I was asking for.
So this helps though. So in here is where it's, not everyone, but in where it's hard to get the elements into the center. And kind of a similar thing happens on the opposite side too. And again, this area here was one where there's furnishings and then there's a kitchen, so that's what's the difficulty there. With that element. But I think that we could. I think we could. You know, these are the areas where we have the best opportunities. There may be some possibilities in here. These are the tough spots.
So I guess we need to make a recommendation to have them come back again with some further changes. Do we want to specify what those are? Anyone?
I'm looking at. Can we turn the light on? Does everybody need this? Can we still see that to some degree? I'm just looking at some stuff in front of me. That might just have a side by side.
We have copies of this, which would probably be helpful over here. I wanted to go through it up here first, but those are available. So that's the same package as.
Your first three comments involved contractual liability. One of the comments you made was that your interior design planning basically dictated your exterior. And I'm pretty disturbed about that. Those teams weren't working together. We don't have to look at the interior of the building. We have to look at the exterior of the building.
That was, us as a team as we were solving it. As we continued, as I think everyone would understand, especially in a complicated building like this, as we continue from the DRC, those are design development drawings, as you continue to, you know, create construction documents, which include structural elements. You know, Matt was mentioning about these columns. That was a solution where we assumed too big of a cantilever. And it was one that our structural engineer wasn't comfortable with, so we had to, you know, look at a different approach. And that's part of the process, and I think everyone here understands that that's the case. Again, that wasn't the mistake that we had to deal with and solve. The mistake was that there wasn't the give or take between the DRC team and our team.
Give and take? You're asking us to compromise, correct?
No, I think what he's suggesting is that had this worked as it should have, and I think we acknowledge that it didn't, that there should have been a comeback here with, okay, we've got these problems. As a result of further construction drawings, we can't do exactly what was...
Before the case.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and so we would... I mean, I think it wouldn't have been as it was depicted originally, but if there would have been some give and take along the way where... You know, we should be back here saying, okay, you know, that we have to have a column here, or we can't have the overhang, for instance.
I agree with you on that.
I mean, that's, and we all, I think, we certainly agree that was a big miss, and we want to do the best we can to make that as good as we can from here. But it wouldn't have been the same as it originally was. But I think everybody would have felt a whole lot better about it, and undoubtedly the result would have been better than what we're sitting with today, and we're here because we want it to be better. I mean, we want to deliver as close as we can what we suggested we would. But it would have been different.
Back to the kitchen. So it's the kitchen cabinets that's requiring blank wall. Is that correct?
So in some cases, there's a wall of cabinets, right, a back wall, which has, you know, some, you know, plumbing and refrigerator. The way our kitchens generally work is we have a galley concept, so you have a whole back wall where everything is just on that, and then we have a freestanding breakfast bar, which is really for seating. It's kind of a multitasking sort of table. It has doesn't have any plumbing or doesn't have a sink, doesn't have anything. It's really, it's kind of a fun concept, but it has an open area where you can, sit on both sides. So it acts as an island, but it also acts like a kitchen table. So that's away from the wall, and everything else is along that, you know. In the cases here, there's kitchens that, you know, that back wall lines up against those.
So I understand the refrigerator. I'm just wondering if you still couldn't eliminate traditional closed cabinets. People pay a lot of money to have lighting and open cabinets, glass, yeah. See-through.
There's
can there
some of
still
that.
Not be window well, articulation in some of those
you know,
kitchen
it,
areas?
Yeah, that's the funny thing with this is that, you know, we do have that wall, so generally we'll have a refrigerator, then we'll have an 18-inch cabinet, then we have the stove, which has a microwave above it, and then we have the sink, which has cabinets above it. And can you take those out at one point? You can, but what you find, and this is what we went through, is that in that kitchen, okay, fine, we can do that here. And then you get out of the wall, and you can't do it there. You have to do it here, or you have to do it here. We ended up having just, it was really becoming quite a mess, because it just did not, things don't stack, and we know it doesn't, because I mean, look at all. So that was the problem we were having trying to get the stuff all to shake out and have some order to it. You know, maintain some order to it. And I think,
so we basically we just need to figure out what we need to see to continue moving on.
I would recommend that we see as many windows as they functionally can put back in to resemble the original design, and then some treatment be presented that would deal with some of the remaining expanses areas of stucco. That's where I would recommend.
If we were to do a panel system, but we kept another way that we may be able to approach it is that it did have a screen. We have perforated these elements here. You know, it's lined up. These elements here, those big tall. You know, these things are this tall around the patios. Those have a perforated mesh, which is what we proposed originally. It may be that perforated mesh is what's used, so you draw from that element, you know, with a panel. I mean, does it make sense that this is kind of an element that could make sense on the side of the building if we kind of weave it in, you know, with additional windows? I mean, I think if you just do the windows, you're going to find that there's going to feel like a bunch of missing teeth.
Are there those perforated panels elsewhere on the building?
There's those perforated panels at all these balcony elements.
So that's the balcony screening.
That perforated panel, yeah. The other balconies around the sides have glass. That's really specific to this side of the building that has that.
So you're suggesting a possible vertical treatment, wall panel treatment, with those perforated panels used in a different way than what they're used on a railing?
Right. I'm just saying if you take the concept of these, where we showed the additional panels, in some locations where you would not be able to get a window because of what's behind it, that you would use that, and you could use it as a panel. That way they're still, again, drawing from the same language that's already on the building, it seems to me, but that...
Jeff, are you trying to maintain the, I don't know if this is the
consistency,
word, the
consistency,
the verticality,
yeah.
Kind of...
Because I'm afraid that
word?
You'll find...
Yeah, that was the original idea, was to try to pick up that verticality in the historic context. That's one reason that facade looks different than the other ones, and that was kind of a direction we originally gave it.
So the concern that I think I'm hearing from Jeff is that if we just put the windows in where we can, and then treat the other areas of stucco with other elements without keeping in mind that verticality, it may look, because even though the windows are offset on the other side, it's an organized offset.
It might. I'm not saying blow away verticality.
Okay.
I was just suggesting it might not be completely eliminated by it.
Got it.
But I think that if there was going to be another material in addition to adding windows back in, used on the walls to provide some of the articulation and difference in coloration that the glazing provided before, that perforated panels is better than a metal frame with stucco painted behind it, by far. And perforated panels can also provide some sun screening, which can reduce the heat on the wall, which, you know, if you can find some genuine reason philosophically for something to be there in addition to just
make enough of the windows you can't go back. That would be a big old thing, in my opinion.
When I was hearing Bob talk about putting, you know, more windows back in, I guess I wasn't just imagining putting as many windows back in as you can wherever you can. It's about putting them back in with, you know, the articulation that we're trying to, you know, to get out of this project originally.
Right. That was my intent as well.
Okay. And then where there are, you know, there are still blank walls, figure out, I don't know that it's, you know, that it's the aluminum panel, you know, the perforated metal or not, but something needs to happen as well to, you know, to create a, you know, a distinction in those areas where you can't have windows put back in. I personally also would like to see if there's something that can be done to counter that that contrast in style between the existing windows and doors, or at that point the potential future windows. It just that stands out to me, really dramatically, because those the doors that were put in are also not in the context of what we had originally approved as well, and it's not some secret that the framing and the spacing on those are different than anything else on the building. I mean they're sort of like an anomaly. I don't see how they pick up any of the elements of the building or the windows, and it looks sort of like these were the doors that we got a deal on these or something. So it just doesn't match, and I want to see if there's something that could take place with that as well. Personally, that's my take. I would like to see that addressed as well, because that's another contrasting issue.
Yeah, I can assure you there's no deal on these windows. That's an inner wall system that's designed. Those things open up completely. I mean, they create a spectacular element as part of that. Those units, and keep in mind that those are behind five or six foot tall.
6 foot
string elements, so they're often high, but those are extremely expensive elements within those units.
So do we want to table this? Do we want to not table it? But do we want to have them come back again?
I think if you're at the stage where you want to give them some instructions to come back, I think you have been giving them instructions. Matt has, Bob has, that's written down there.
Are there any other comments that anybody'd like to make?
Can I just ask what happened at the top? I'm sorry I wasn't here last meeting. And at the top of the building that's with the bigger expanse. That and then to the left of it.
This is a mechanical penthouse.
Right,
so that's
beyond.
And I think, I don't know how we render that before, but it was, that's back behind that.
During the original.
Is that it for Westview?
That's essentially the same.
Right, this is what I'm asking.
Yeah, the stair, we were showing this as what would be an open stair, but we had to close that. So if you go to, this was this area where it was something that we worked through with Jan quite a bit, where we took area off, additional area off that end of the building. But that's a stair that rises up to the roof, so that's a service stair that gets to all the mechanical equipment that's up there. So that rises up to the roof, and then a little higher to provide access to the roof. So that's the sole purpose of that element. As you see with the original, that was shown just at the roof elevation, mm-hmm. right here. And that really had to be, because otherwise, water's just pouring down. So that's all. Waterproofed little stair enclosure that extends up to that level.
Anything else?
I'm just curious. So, as I think that obviously we need to continue this, but what would be the proposed process for doing that? And how does that affect? I mean, for example, we don't come up with a solution for this time. What happens what happens if we don't, if we're not all on the same page yet, you know, by the next meeting. I'm just curious how it plays out, if there's any sense of that.
Well, I guess at some point we would have to make a motion and vote on that motion and see how it goes. But it sounds like we might be able to get to some resolution by having another meeting.
Well, we're going to see you all on the 16th, I believe.
All right, so we'll have the 16th.
So that's Wednesday?
Week from Wednesday.
But that was for Hub 2, right?
Right about the signage for this point.
Is that going to be possible to get that revisit in the agenda for Hub 1?
Yes, we can put this on the April 16th agenda. To answer your question, you are a decision-making body, right, but your decision can be appealed to the Board of Adjustment. That's what the main gate ordinance is. So that would be
the answer.
At some point, you have to make a decision.
Right.
When you make that decision, they either live with it or they go to the Board of Adjustment and appeal your decision.
I think it makes sense to add this to the next meeting's agenda.
Yeah, I think this would need to be addressed first.
Did you get enough direction to do that? Okay, then.
Do you want to make a motion just to be a little bit more formal?
All right. That we make a motion for a re-presentation with the suggested comments from the DCR and to be presented at the Hub 2 meeting that's coming up.
So it's a motion to continue to the 16th?
Correct.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Looks like unanimous.
Rick, I had a request from people in the audience that they wanted to know if the DRC would have a brief call to the audience at this point, since a lot of them showed up.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Any comments from the audience?
I'm Chris Gansen from Rice University. I appreciate the efforts you guys are making. It's good. It's disappointing to me. It makes my blood hot to see that this whole process just fell down, both at the development level, but also at the state level, and that we're dealing with this. McNichols? Find some McNichols metal. If you're going to put metal on this, it's something really well done, and because you're not going to get the windows back. And it's not, and like you were saying, Bob, and I think Matt and I think other people were saying, is that windows here and there aren't going to make this. You know, it's that wall. And this is the most important wall to our neighborhood. This is what we look at. It's one thing that Jan said about lighting is the lower part where there are existing windows, we're not going to see that. It's the upper part that we see from the neighborhood. And that is what, to me, is of all these buildings being built, this facade is the most important to me, because when I'm down at Catalina Park, I look east, this is what I see. And neighbors closer to it, this is what they see. And it needs to be extraordinary. I thought the original plan was a really good resolution of that. And so far, it feels like trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear at this point. And I think you guys are creative enough to hopefully come up with something that will work for the Design Review Committee. The other thing is the paint color on the west side and on the north side, to me, is way too much of one thing. And hopefully you can temper that. I find it's like you took a bungalow color and put it up to 13 stories. And it's just too much for me. And this color doesn't even look like what's on the building. This looks like white, mauve white, you know, a soft white. What's on there, nothing like this.
Yes, I'll just add, too, that, you know, being, you know, across the street, more or less representing Feldman's neighborhood, that I agree at just stepping into this.
Did you say your name for the
record? Yeah, I'm Bill Ford. Just stepping in for the first time, I wasn't involved in any of the design conversations, but it is a little disappointing to see that, that something as important as the design has fallen a little bit short. And, you know, as I look at the building being constructed, because I see it every day, I think there's something not quite right in the stucco paneling system that just makes it look low end, and it's not elevated to what it should be. It's for that reason, I'm almost tempted to agree with Chris that we need to cover it. I mean, and I don't know if windows are going to be the answer either, because you still end up with a system that's just not elevated. And it's just not speaking to what it was intended to be when the decision was made, you know, a year or so ago to grant extra stories because it was going to be stepped and it was going to be beautiful.
Anyone else? The next item is design review process. After design review committee, which we just did.
And just to briefly go over this, you asked us to come up with something that ensured this kind of situation wouldn't happen. We looked at what actually happened, and what had happened was, as I said at the beginning of the meeting, is that the construction drawings that were submitted were different than the approved design. And no one on staff caught that. The building people aren't aware of that. We weren't aware of what the building people had received. There was a gap. So once we figured out where our gap was and where our potential gaps would be, we hope you've come up with a process that just expands something that we thought was addressing this. And one of the things we thought was addressing it was the design professional submitting a letter saying what had happened and what were the conditions. But now we see that that wasn't really enough. That there has to be an entire set of exhibits that are submitted with that letter with any special instructions on that. And not only that, but along with the exhibits that are submitted with the letter, that has to be sent out to the applicant and the members of the design review committee so that they know what's going on and can see what that package is. And as I was explaining, there are two main parts of the development process. The first part we call the development package, which is mainly about site planning and how the building's footprint fits, how it's balanced on the property, how drainage works, how that works. We would, according to this process we're going to set up and make part of our department policy, is that the design professional now, he prepares his design package. Spreads it out to all the members of the design review committee. That is the package then that the development package is reviewed on. And before the development package is reviewed, the design professional has to look at what's in the design package and the development package and sign off on the development package. It's consistent and it is fulfilling what was approved at the DRC. After that part of the process, then it goes into construction drawings, and those are two separate things. They're not always connected. But again, we would have the design professional come into that process, sign off on the construction drawings that they are consistent with the design package, and then the reviewers know that what they're reviewing is what the DRC had approved. And after that, we have set up that the design professional would go on site at least twice, if not more, to see at various parts of the process how the construction is going. Normally that's not a problem because the inspector on site has the approved drawings that have been approved by a design professional, and any of those issues are usually the inspector catches them. This was not an inspection issue. This was a gap in the process issue. That we think that would be covered. The other issue that we thought came up was, well, when can, you know, and you'd mentioned at the last meeting, Matt, that, you know, changes are inevitable when you're in a fairly complicated project. And what level of changes
are insubstantial changes that the design professional can say, yeah, you can do that. Or what changes rise to the level of no, that has to come back to the design review committee. And we try to incorporate the idea that Bob had mentioned, that anything that affects the appearance, you have to come back to the design review committee. We have come up with at least an idea of what an insubstantial change would be, and we wanted you to take a look at that. We thought if it's fairly small, and we used an example of one we actually did, was the moving of an electric box 10 feet that they asked us when they were doing the level. And Rick looked at that and says, yes, you can move that. That doesn't affect the overall appearance of the building. So those kinds of changes we would have the design professional look at. We don't want to bring every little ticky-tack thing back to you, where we have to get together this group, bring these people in, then have, you can move it 10 feet. We wanted to make sure it's fairly substantive, the kinds of things you're reviewing.
A thought about this, and thank you for responding by putting this together. I think this will help a lot to have some guidelines that help to dictate what comes to the design review committee and what doesn't. I think it's great. I like the way that this, I'm looking mostly at this piece down here at the bottom of page two that attempts to define what should come back and what shouldn't. I like that it refers back to items 1-7, which have all the building elevations, heights, massing, fenestration, materials, colors, architectural features, streetscapes. There's one issue that I'd like to mention, and that is that it still seems to me that there's a potential gap in the definition of what a substantial change is, which seems to be what triggers it coming back or not. I think that it's defined here as a substantial alteration as any change that significantly affects one or more. So using a term again, substantial, significant, I think that if we could plug that little gap to where there's less interpretation of what's substantial or what's significant with a little more of a definition, potentially it could be something that would noticeably impact any visual or functional aspect of the facility design. I mean, something that anyone would notice, you know, and have a noticeable impact, and that's a little easier to define. I mean, obviously, if someone on the street is going to be noticing something that's missing, something's changed, something that philosophically is not what was presented before. I'm just kind of suggesting a way to close that gap of what the heck does substantial or significant mean. It could be different things to different people. And landscaping, I want to make sure that that's in there as well. It might be under streetscape. So
we already have a landscaping concept, an interim policy that we created, and these folks are aware of that. And we hope by next year we have a streetscape manual that incorporates that into a mayor council approved document. So that may not be an issue.
Okay. Well, landscape plan is included on the streetscapes here, so
right,
we
right,
should
right. We just want to be comprehensive to show you we're addressing them.
Otherwise, I really appreciate the effort to do this.
Okay, Trish, you want to say something?
I just want to say just a couple things about this process as the one of two project managers that will be managing this as it goes through the system. And one of the things is things like this that you guys probably look at don't work well in construction drawings. Okay, so what isn't going to be in the field will have to be kind of massaged to truly be an elevation that an inspector can use. Such as when people make a lot of copies of things, this kind of thing isn't going to come through. Okay, so between the development package approval and the construction drawing, these kind of things are going to turn into black and white elevations with color schemes on them, colored, you know. So this is more of an internal thing for the developer and the city to work through, is that when you guys start out, by the time we get into the field, it's going to be different. And the design professional will, before we release those building plans, it will be his or her responsibility to make sure that what's on a black and white elevation in a building, in a construction drawing, accurately represents the color renderings that you guys approved on the DRC. And so those kind of things can take some time. As far as before we're actually going to issue that permit,
okay? I mean, the design professional can step in at any time and look at these things, but before we actually issue a permit, there's going to it's going to be some give, you know, making sure that the design professional sees on the drawings that
that's one of the reasons why he's going to make field inspections to make sure those colors and those sorts of things are being done correctly. As we say in the package, it's not only a color, but you have to describe that technical color and the brand name and those sorts of technical
details. I think the color is the least of the issues anyway. That's only one of seven items, and most of these other ones are multiple items. I think that the color, you know, we'll grapple with, but all of the elements that are shown on these drawings should be shown on the elevation.
And when we can do that, but once you lose the color rendering as things go through, and I just want
he's still going to have the color rendering.
Right, and he's going to come in at the end. This is one of the very things that problems that I've had for 10 years, right, on the beginning end, and by the time we get to the end, it's different. Okay, so I just want people to understand, especially the developers and the people that are behind the scenes, that this just doesn't happen like that. Okay, because the other thing we don't want is we don't want 15 elevations in the field to confuse the inspector. The inspector isn't going to look at 100 pages of plans and then compare them to the color rendering.
So he's going to review these before construction starts, right?
That's right. Yeah. And then
so he says that what you're building by is okay.
That's exactly
right. Not rocket science.
It's not rocket science, but I just want, and it's not so much, I understand you guys are kind of not, that won't be, but it's more the internal process within our department. You know, we'll be working through that before people actually get a permit. Okay, so because your guys' stuff is up here at the very beginning, and by the time we get to this stage of issuing a permit, we're going to be making sure that all that stuff, and that might take an extra few days when people want to pull a grading permit and they can't, or they want to pull their...
If it needs to, it should.
I know, and I want everyone to kind of understand that it doesn't just happen by inserting these things into the construction drawings.
I think Trish is just inoculating herself as if something gets delayed, she could...
I just want everyone to understand that downstairs it doesn't necessarily happen by just...
If I could make a recommendation, I think the committee's concern is revisions when things get revised after the permit's issued.
And we'll keep
right. But my suggestion would be to do what we do with you for a development package where the architect writes a letter that says very clearly what's being changed, so that someone, whether it be someone in Patricia's group or Rick, who the design professional, can say, these changes do require my review. And that way you have it in writing from the architect, these are the things that we're changing.
But it also makes it easy to start the process.
Say, then he'll say, no, you're moving electrical box 10 feet.
Full disclosure.
I think that's a good way to start the process.
But it also alleviates that kind of...
We'll work that in.
I think also in the course of, you know, full disclosure, and this was part of my motion last time, was that whether the design review committee needs to reconvene on an issue that's substantial or insubstantial, we should all be notified of changes regardless. So that can be as simple as, you know, that letter gets forwarded to all the DRC members. So we're in the loop. We know when things have changed, so it doesn't come to the end. And then we find out that there was some review partway along the way and something was, you know, deemed insubstantial. We can see it as it happens, you know, and we'll have, if for some reason, you know, there's a larger group of smaller items that then might be a more significant change, we can convey that, our opinion at least, that, hey, maybe we could all review this. It'll give us an opportunity to at least have that commentary before.
Yeah, I would prefer that, actually, to the design professional.
I think our tendency in this would be to overreact.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, I think transparency kind of sometimes feels that way, but it also just keeps things out in the open. And then, I'm not sure, just it seems like there's a review of something, and then there's construction drawings, and if there is something that... if that slips through somehow, you know, through, you know, we haven't discovered the next gap, is there, you know, a chain of responsibility? Who would definitely, you know, be responsible at that point? Maybe that's worth defining, that the onus is on, you know, the development team to make sure that all these protocols are met, because if there's an issue that comes through, somebody needs to be able to, you know, somebody needs to be able to take responsibility for it.
I think the design professional will be the city's representative to make sure that what is occurred that the design review committee works its way all the way through to the end of construction.
Well, I'm definitely going to be on you guys to make sure that you go down with me, right?
I think we've gotten their attention. That's all I have on that one. I have it as an action item if you want to act on it.
Could we, are you going to revise this, tweak this a little bit?
Sure.
Can we see a final version before we approve anything?
All right. So I guess the motion will be to take the recommendations based on the draft.
Well, what you can do is you can continue to April 16th, and we'll come back with a final version.
He's going to refine it a little bit, then we'll approve that.
Very good. Sounds fine.
Thank you,
Chair. Any other items that we need to talk about? I think we pretty much made everything part of the future agenda. So. Any other comments by the audience? All right, I think we can move to adjourn. All in favor?
Thanks.
Enjoy your trip to Michigan.
Thank you. I get drunk to Michigan.